I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to Proverbs this afternoon, to Proverbs chapter 29. And we'll be using verse 18 for the base of our lesson. As Alan said, we're glad that each one is here this evening, and we do have visitors, and we're especially glad to have you. If you haven't met Hilda and Vicki, I'd like for you to meet them after services. We've known them, I guess I'll tell my age, not theirs. I've known them a lot of years. And I was good friends with their husbands. They were faithful members of the church and servants in the Lord's body for many years before they passed away. And it's good to have y'all with us tonight. Good to see you. As we think about our life as Christians and serving God and doing His will, we need to have a plan. And of course, we realize that when we make a plan that we don't need to boast ourselves of tomorrow because tomorrow may not come. But we need to be preparing for tomorrow, because tomorrow it may be on this earth and we may not be on this earth. So if we prepare for that today, for tomorrow, for whatever happens, then we'll be prepared. But there's a certain amount of planning, a certain amount of insight that needs to take place. You know, we were younger as we grew up, we became teenagers and young adults. We had to make a decision what we were going to do in life. For instance, what are we going to do for a livelihood? What's going to be our occupation so we can earn some money? Is it going to be a doctor, a lawyer, Indian chief? Are we going to be a teacher, a preacher, a farmer, or a soldier? What are we going to do? We have decisions that need to be made, and we need to put some insight into that and have some vision to where those plans are going to take us. Recently, in the last several weeks, I've talked to a number of young people who have recently graduated high school. And over the course of their last few weeks in high school, or the last few months, and even before that, even back to the 10th grade, they were urged by their parents and other people and guidance counselors at school to make your plans now. Make sure you take the courses. If you know what you're going to do when you graduate, if you're going to go into a field of work and not attend college, then look at what you're going to take in high school and take courses that will help you. Maybe you need to take some technical courses, attend the technical school. Maybe you need to take some of these, or maybe you need to take basic courses or advanced courses, depending on what you want to do. There needs to be some vision for what we're going to do. And then the guidance counselors would tell students, you know, beginning in their, basically in their freshman year of high school, begin planning with them. Here's your grade level. Here's your grade average. This is what you're doing. This is where you need work if you expect to get in this college. They need to have some vision so they can plan to go where they want to be. And so we do that in life. We're to make some plans. And so planning for the life you're after is also important. But in the Old Testament, we find that the children of Israel, even though God told them, He gave them laws and told them what was wrong and what would be wrong if they did it and the consequences of sin, and He gave them instructions of how to live their lives as far as the worship to Him, the things they were to do, the things they could not do on the Sabbath day, the things they were to do in their life toward their neighbor, the things they were going to, needed to do with their children to teach the Word of the Lord to them when they rise up in the morning, as Lynn talked about in his lesson the other night. Teach your children when you rise up in the morning, when you go by the way, when you go through the evening, when you lay down at night. Teach the Word of God to your children. Let them be farmers of you for your children so they can see My commandments and know My words. So there needs to be some vision in teaching and training children the Word of God. And we need to have that in our life. But in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 it says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraints, but happy is he who keeps the law. When you think about where there is no vision, you look at this and you see that in the King James Version, he used that word I just read, where there is no vision, the people perish. So when we fail to look into things and have some insight and some good information and some good leadership to receive advice from, and when we don't listen to good advice and don't listen to God, we don't have the right vision, so we're going to run into problems. It may be physical problems, financial problems, material problems, but worst of all, should it be a spiritual problem with us in not planning to serve God? But he says, he that keeps the law, happy is he. So we're thinking about spiritual things, saving our soul, doing right. And so when we look at God's Word and it directs us, we can get insight into where we need to be going, and it tells us how to get to a place where we can start going in the right direction, and it gives us instructions of how to keep going in the right direction. It gives us vision of where we need to be and how to get there. The Word of God can do that for us. And if we turn our eyes and our hearts away from the Word of God, we're going to fail. Because the Word of God will lead us in the right direction if we listen. The New American Standard Version says that where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. That goes back to the fact that when people are, there's nothing set in order to people control people's lives or direct people in the right direction. They just do what they want to do. There's no vision in which way they need to go, so they end up doing what they want to do. And so the people who have no vision, they're unrestrained. And so there has to be some restraint in life if people are going to stay away from sin, if we're going to stay away from troubles and problems, and if we're going to stay away from breaking the laws of the land, the laws of God, we have to have some restraint. So where there's no revision, the people are unrestrained. So the vision or insight or the ability to see where we need to be going comes from the Word of God. But then again, but happy is he who keeps the law. So there's the aspect of life. We either make a plan, we follow the plan of God, and we're able to see where he leads us and where he wants us to go. And if we follow that plan, we can go in the right direction and we can have success. But if not, there's going to be some unrestrained people. There's going to be some who are going to perish. Again, the New King James Version, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. When I was in high school, the guidance counselor talked to me several times, especially my senior year, about college courses. And there was a man who was a guidance counselor, and there was also a lady who was a guidance counselor. And both of them ended up talking to me and trying to direct me in the right direction, but just to be honest, I guess that I wasn't doing as good as I should have done in school, so they were both kind of just trying to pull me in direction so they could get me out the door and say, maybe he'll make it. But anyway, maybe I should have listened to them more than I did. But the thing is, where there's no revelation, people can give us good advice. Good people who've been down the road and learned from experience, they can give us good advice. We need to listen to advice from good people who have some experience. In the church, we need to listen to the advice of faithful men and women who serve God for many years. So, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. So look at this. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. Where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. It gets the point that it's like it was in the class this morning. Adam was talking about the mob there when Demetrius the silversmith stirred up those people of the same craft in Ephesus. And really what it was a riot. It was an uncontrolled mob. And so that's what happened when there's no vision, when there's no training, when there's no revelation, when there's no restraint. There's no mob control. Things get out of hand and our life gets out of hand. So there are two distinct differences when you look at the results of no revelation or vision and keeping the law of God. So our goal in our life would be to look into the law of God, see what it is He's telling us, find out where it is He wants us to go, and follow His direction so that we might get there. We have an idea of where we're going. We have a roadmap to tell us how to get there, how to get to heaven, how to live our life, how to do right toward our fellow man. So it's important then that we have some vision in our life and some plans. So where there is no vision, people are going to have problems. People are going to suffer. People are going to do things they shouldn't do. There's going to be issues spiritually, physically, materially, and financially where there is no vision. And so as human beings, when it comes to everyday aspects of life, we're going to make some mistakes. We can have the best laid plans from a human standpoint, and they may not always work out like we think they will. For instance, the 401ks that a lot of people put money in for the last 25 or 30 years. Some of those retirement funds that many of us had where we were employed over the years, I can think back in the last 20 years, there have been at least three major fallouts of the money market where some of those funds lost 20 and 30 and even 40% of what those people had saved for retirement. They had some vision, they had a plan, but that plan was devised by man, and so men failed. And so the best laid plan that we can make, we may fail. We need to go to God to get the plan for salvation, to get to heaven, because He has the plan that would get us there. So when you think about life, the basic law of vision. I grew up on a farm, an 80-acre farm, and my dad, he would start in the fall of the year planning for the next year. I didn't say planning, P-L-A-N-T-I-N-G. I said P-L-A-N-N-I-N-G. He would start in the fall of the year when the crops, all of the later summer and fall crops were harvested. He would begin then to get ready for the next spring planning, for the planting of the crops. He had to plan for that. He had a vision. We've got to do this month. We've got to do this during this month of the winter. I've got to have this bought and this in place. We've got to have the fertilizer. We've got to have the seeds. And we've got to have these plans. If these seeds are going in the ground and they're going to take root and they're going to grow and they're going to bring forth fruit, they're going to bring forth vegetables, they're going to bring forth wheat and corn and barley and hay and tomatoes and things of that nature, there has to be some planning. So the basic laws of sowing and reaping apply to both the physical and the spiritual aspects of life. So we need to make good plans, the best we can, and most importantly, good spiritual plans. No one wants to fail. No one wants to perish. I think anyone who's thinking clearly and have all their right facilities so they can think clearly, no one really wants to fail, I don't believe. Won't be successful. So there has to be some vision in what we do. So let's think about this evening a few things, 4 or 5 points concerning where there is no vision from Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 18. Where there is no vision in the church, teaching may become lacking or incomplete. We need good teaching. We had some good teaching this past week with Lynn Hedrick here in our gospel meeting. We have some good teaching on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening for the men who teach classes and the women who teach classes for the children. But if there's no vision, if there's no planning made, if that teacher does not study and know his or her material to the class they're going to teach, if that student doesn't study and prepare their mind for that material to absorb it and soak it in and receive it, there's going to be a problem. So there, in the church, as individuals, as Christians, and as a group, we need a plan so we can teach as we ought to, so we can learn as we ought to. So if we don't plan to be successful, we're planning to fail. If we don't plan to teach, we're not going to teach. If we don't plan to teach correctly and teach the truth, we may end up teaching incorrectly or teaching error. If we don't plan to teach and save souls, then there's not going to be much teaching get done and souls are going to be lost. And it could be our fault. So we need to have a plan. There needs to be some vision when it comes to teaching the Word of God. We need the vision to study the Word of God. Get in our Bibles and study and read, and not just read it verse by verse and chapter by chapter, although that's good. We need to study it and see what it's saying in that context. Who's being spoken to? What time frame is this subject matter applying to? Was it to the Jews? Was it to the early church? Is it to us today? How does this apply? We need the vision to get in the Word of God and learn it and teach it to others. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2:2. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the Word of God, 2 Timothy 2:15. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. And so there needs to be a plan. Needs to be a plan to study and to grow and to learn. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. When Paul was writing to Timothy, and he's encouraging him as a young preacher, and he's warning him about things that's going to happen, things that he's going to face, and things that he needs to be doing as a preacher. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So there needs to be some planning in the church for younger men to be taught. Younger men to be taught how to pray. when they're baptized into Christ and they become a Christian, they need to be taught how to pray publicly. They need to be taught how to lead singing in the proper way, how to serve at the Lord's table, how to read the Bible, how to make announcements, how to do certain things. They need to be trained. We don't just turn them loose and say, just do it, because we don't want them to do something that's not correct scripturally. So teaching needs to be done. As a matter of fact, Jesus realized the need for vision when it comes to knowing God's Word, understanding God's Word, and receiving God's Word. He understood the need to teach other people the Word of God. When He gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do." So, in the church, in the home, as individuals, we need to have the insight, we need to have some vision of learning how to teach God's Word, of learning how to learn it ourselves and teach it to ourselves and then to teach it to others. It's important that we do that. Where there's no vision, where there's no revelation, where there's no restraint, individuals may fail. Not just fail to be teachers, but we may fail in a lot of ways. It's possible that even a Christian who's baptized into Christ may fail in serving God in the correct manner and fall by the wayside. So we need some vision of how we're going to stay faithful. We need some vision into God's Word and some insight to say, this is how I'm going to remain faithful. This is how I'm going to keep the faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we see that people can fail. Even Christians can fail. We can fail to serve God on and on as we should and not be faithful. We can give up if we're not careful. As we talk about Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he talks about the Word of God that was spoken. The Word of God that was spoken, and then he says, verse 3, "How should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was being spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" Hearing the Word of God and teaching the Word of God is very important. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily what it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So it is possible for us to fail in our lives as Christians. We don't want to fail, and we don't have to fail, and we don't need to fail. We need to be successful. So we need to stay with the Word of God. We need to listen to the Word of God. We need to follow what the Word of God says, seeking the things that are above, Colossians 3, 1 through 3, and teaching our children and bringing them up in the right way, and teaching ourselves, so that we can be faithful to God, so we do not fail as individuals. Well, where there's no vision, sometimes families fail. Sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife, sometimes it's both. Sometimes family fails in the fact that we as parents may not teach our children as we ought to. We may not restrain them as we ought to. We may not give them enough information as we should. We may not be the right example to them. So we need some insight into how we're going to set the good example to our children, how we're going to teach them correctly, how we're going to mold in them the Word of God, and so that they will hold on to it and serve God. Families fail sometimes when marriages fail, when men and women lose sight of the loyalty and the love they ought to have for their spouse. The love that the man has for the wife and the wife for the husband and the loyalty of that. When people lose sight of how important that is, that relationship and that union, and it's a union that's approved of God, then when we lose sight of that, marriages fail. Families fail. Again, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 7, parents were taught to teach their children the Word of God. Colossians 3, 18 through 21, you know, husbands ought to love their wives, and wives love their husbands, and parents teach their children, and children honor their parents. We need some vision if we're going to have successful families. Well, where there's no vision, churches may fail. Brother Lynn had a lesson the other night. I believe it was Thursday night. I'm not sure. Wednesday night, one. But You remember what he talked about? You know, why churches decline. Why the numbers down in so many congregations? Why have so many congregations just dwindled down from 100 people to 10? Or 120 people down to 50? Why have some closed their doors? And before we talk about churches failing, not every congregation that closes its doors, not every congregation that has 40 people instead of 150 after 30 years has failed. There are things that happen that are beyond our control sometimes. For instance, death. Sometimes congregations lose people through transition of death. Every congregation does that. But of course, we need to be teaching and we need to replacing, you know, not replacing, but bringing others in who will know the Word of God and be saved from their sins and serve God faithfully. And if we teach those people and they'll receive it, then you're going to have numbers added back as people die. There are people who move away and you can't help that. There are things that happen why congregations decrease in number, but I'm talking about why is it sometimes congregations fail? Well, churches may fail when there is no vision. The vision of the people that make up the congregation, whether it be 25 or 250, that they'd have the vision to say, we're going to be scripturally sound. We're going to have book, chapter, and verse for everything that we do in our worship. We're going to have scriptural authorization for everything we do in the work of the church. We're going to have scriptural authorization and we're going to follow the scriptures and we're going to love and admonish and exhort one another. We're going to follow the scriptures and when there's sin in the church, we're going to go to those people and we're going to talk to them and we're going to warn them as Paul told the church at Corinth to do and even up to the point of disfellowshipping those people for the sake of their soul, if that's what it takes to keep those people from failing, to bring them back and to keep the church from failing and not doing what it ought to do. Churches may fail when there's not the proper oversight. And so we need to have a vision for men to develop themselves along with their wives developing themselves to be as husband and wives. He can't be an elder without a good wife beside him. And so to plan to be an elder down the road. And somewhere, I wonder where that down the road is because I've been hearing that for 50 years. Down the road, somebody says, we're going to have elders in the church. And somehow, brethren, we just don't ever get down that road. Maybe we need to change it and say, up the road, we're going to get power elders. And maybe if we go on the upscale, we'll eventually get there. You know, several congregations do have elders. Many don't. Sometimes it's because men don't desire the office. Sometimes it's because men haven't prepared themselves. Sometimes it's because things happen in men's lives that they didn't do themselves. It just happened to them. And it caused something that they didn't feel like they can serve as elders. But there ought to be a way where there can be men who can be qualified to serve as elders. And there is a way. God wouldn't have put those qualifications in there if there wasn't a way. So churches may fail to have elders because men don't desire the office or they don't prepare themselves or their leader, those men's wives don't prepare themselves or the churches are not receptive to saying, we will accept scriptural leadership. We will accept scriptural oversight. We will not only accept, but we will support scriptural oversight. We not only support scriptural oversight, but we will hold up the hands of the elders as they guard our souls. They watch for our souls. And they feed us the Word of God. And they watch out for false teaching. And they watch for our souls as God would have them. That they shepherd the sheep. Acts 20, look over there and let's read a few verses. Acts 20, verses 28 through 32. It says, therefore take heed to yourselves and all the flock among which the Holy Ghost or Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remain, that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In the past 40 years, my wife and I have attended with several congregations. I preached in a number of congregations. Part of those had elders. Some of them didn't. Some of them didn't have elders, and we were able to appoint elders. The church was able to appoint elders. When there's vision, when there's insight, and when men develop themselves and the church is ready to accept that, then men do get appointed when they're qualified. We should never appoint anyone who's not qualified. It would be wrong if we did. But if there are those who are qualified, we should appoint them to serve. And we know what the qualifications are. Churches may fail if they don't have vision. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, we find that when the church there had become lukewarm. And if you don't have vision, if you don't have proper teaching, proper training, and proper oversight, proper encouragement, proper discipline, a church will become lukewarm. Or there may be false teachers creep in and start teaching things that are wrong. There may be those in the congregation that start practicing things of a religious nature that they ought not to practice. That's wrong. So churches may fail in that regard. I mentioned one of the sisters that's visiting with us tonight. We were at a congregation in Southwest Cullman County preaching, and there was about 85 people worshiping there, 80 or 85. There were no elders. But there were some men there who had already been living their lives in a way, and their wives had already been living their lives in a way, and those men really desired to be elders. And we had study after study, month after month, about the eldership in Bible class. We had a series of sermons about elders and deacons. And then we went through the process. And those men were appointed to be elders, four of them. And three of them passed on this life as elders in the Lord's church. One of them is still alive today. Of course, he can't serve as an elder right now because you got to have a plurality of men. But where there's vision and where there's planning and when the Word of God is applied, things get done. We'll tell you a little story about those four men who were appointed as elders. Before they were appointed, there was a problem. There was a family that came in, started visiting. And the wife in that family and the daughter and some grandkids, the woman's husband would not control his wife. So they came in and they would try to interrupt the services. They're going to do their own thing. And so I talked to them. I stayed after church. My wife and I stayed after church and talked with them and studied with them time and again. And then when I finally, I would think, well, they're beginning to see now. These were members of the church. They had come in and started attending there. And we'd leave and drive back to West Point. And we think, you know, they understand what we're telling them. And sometimes I'd be on the phone then till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. They wouldn't leave me alone. They would call and they would call and they would call. And we would study and we would talk. And the next service, the same thing. But when those men were appointed to be elders, the Sunday we announced that they were appointed as elders, that Sunday night after services, that lady's husband came to me and he said, "Come on back here. We need to talk to you." Of course, when you're preaching somewhere, an elder tells you that and he's just been appointed, you think maybe they're going to change preachers. But those men took me in the classroom and they sat down and said, "Tell you something. You don't have to worry about that situation anymore. We'll handle it." And from that day forward, I didn't have to worry about that. They handled it. There was some teaching done. There was some interference run. and there were things that were handled in the right way. That's what I mean by vision. Vision in the church. God's got a plan for the church to work like it ought to. And when it works like it's supposed to, it works great for everybody. Works great for everybody. So let's talk about that now. A couple more points. So where there's no vision, nations may fail. Hosea 4 and verse 6, concerning the children of Israel, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. That goes back to studying as individuals, studying as families, taking the Word of God to heart. That applies today in the church. 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 and 2, there needs to be teaching, there needs to be preaching, it needs to be done regularly. Nations may fail. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, we're to pray for kings, for those in high places, for those who have charge. We're to pray for those people that, as we pray sometime in our prayers here, that the Word of God might be respected, the gospel might have free course, that we might be able to serve. But nations will fail. They'll be undermined with sin, and the foundations will fall out from under them, as history shows, when there's no vision by the people and by the leaders in the nation. So where there's no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29, verse 18, we learn that we need to have vision and the danger of not having vision. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man whose law of God is in his heart. We need to realize that we need to keep the law of God so we can be happy. We can prevent failures in the church if we have some vision. We can prevent failures in the home if we have the right vision. You can prevent, and I can prevent, failures in our life to a certain extent if we have the right kind of vision. We need to have that kind of revelation. The revelation, the vision, is that we look to God's Word for good guidance, we apply it to our life, and we serve God faithfully. Churches, nations, individuals, and families need direction. The Word of God is our direction. I hope the lesson this evening will help each one of us to say that I want to do better. I want to get some insight into how I can do good and how down the road I can be where I need to be in the sight of God, in the sight of man, as an individual, and Beulah as a church, that we'll always be where we need to be in the sight of God because we followed His direction. If we're not having the right kind of vision that we need, if we don't have the right direction that we need, let's go to God's Word and get it. Because His Word is true, His Word is real, His Word is that which we need to go to. It's quick and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can lead us, it can direct us, it's perfect, it's complete and thorough. And so we need the Word of God to guide us, so that we can see where we're going and we can follow that roadmap and get where we're supposed to be and don't end up somewhere that we ought not to be. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, then listen to what God reveals to you. You need to believe that that Jesus is the Son of God. Be willing to confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized. That's what God says is the vision you need to look at so you can be saved, and you need to follow that revelation to be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, perhaps you're here this evening and you're a Christian and you haven't served God as you should. He tells you how to fix that. He tells us that if we see Him, we need to go to Him in prayer and confess our fault and repent. If it's of a public nature, we ought to do it publicly and confess our faults one to another and pray one for another. And He'll forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. So if you're here this evening and we can help you in any way in regard to your soul salvation, please come while W.A. leads us.